There wasn't another song, right? I came up at the right time? Okay. Jumped the gun last week early. Thought that was my theme song. That was my entry music that I was coming into. So, Mark 12:28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.'" In Deuteronomy 6:4, it does not have mind in there. I don't know if that's just disregarded or they, in the vernacular of the day, the heart was the mind. You hear this expression, the heart wants what the heart wants. And, oh, this person is following their heart. Sometimes it could mean that they're following their passion. Other times it can mean they're making a mistake. Springtime's coming around and you'll have young men and young women falling in love, it seems like, for no apparent reason whatsoever. We've been there. We made that mistake. You're like, what are you thinking? They're not thinking. They're following their heart. And you just kind of like try to talk to them, and you can give them all the logical reasons in the world why not to do this. And they listen to you, and they shake their head, and you can just see the emptiness of their brain because they're thinking with their hearts. I say one season, every once in a while I catch it and I laugh at it. One season I watched it from beginning to end with my daughters because we really laughed the whole time. The Bachelor. So I know everybody's and they're moaning and groaning about it. We watched it because I wanted her, it was like a learning lesson. Wanted her to learn and see what was going on. That you see these women cry, beautiful women. I was like, are you kidding me? They do not have anybody in their hometown that would, like, burn their house down and sell their car to date you? I mean, come on. But after a day, if it's the first rose ceremony, and they're crying. Oh, he could have been the love of my life. Really? That quickly? No, that's because I think if Roxanne would have known me now, as she sees all the terrible stuff, I don't think she would have married me. I really don't. I mean, I wouldn't have married me. I'd be like, ooh, that's, you snore, you make that noise, you got hair growing out your ear. Oh my gosh, no. So, I mean, kind of snuck it in on her. But it's amazing that people want that chance of love. They open the eyes of my heart. We don't have eyes in our heart. We let it really control a lot of our being. One of my favorite lines is, what did it say? Emotion is a chemical defect found in the losing side. We let our hearts, instead of thinking with our brains, logically thinking, we let our hearts sometimes overrule us. But sometimes emotion is good. Open the eyes of my heart. We want to feel that joy. We want to feel that. When I pray for people going through hard times, I do not pray that the Lord's be with them, because the Lord should be with them. The Lord is with them. That is the promise that we have. That is one of the greatest promises that we have. We have the deposit of the Holy Spirit. As believers, that's given to us. But I pray when you guys are going through tough times that you feel that presence. Not just because you know it's there, but that you really feel it. That God comes down and just really gives you that giant bear hug through the Holy Spirit. That you feel that peace no matter what's going on in your life. You feel that peace. Sometimes God brings storms in our lives, not so much as to test us, but to clear a path. You have fall rolling around, or springtime, depending on how lazy you are or how much snow we have, that I wait for all the leaves to fall and hit the ground, and then the winds to come in March to blow them against the fence over there so I can rake them up. Makes it a little easier. Or I just stand on one side and the wind's blowing and I just rake them into the air and it shoves them over there. Or maybe some people that I know rake them out into the street and let them blow down to the neighbor's yard. But that's not me. I try to pick them up. But sometimes, again, when we follow our hearts, we do make mistakes. Quite a few of them. And God also wants us to think. That's why the mind was put together. God wants us to think. We want to think about it. The heart plays an important role in the understanding of the body since antiquity. In the 4th century BC, the Greek philosopher Aristotle identified the heart as the most important organ in the body. First to form, according to the observation of chick embryos. It was the seat of intelligence, motion, emotions, sensation, hot, dry organ. I only know one person personally that died of a broken heart. Personally. Little grandpa. Little grandma died, passed away pretty quick, it seemed like. And I was told that he would sit on the edge of it. They were married 74, almost 75 years. And he'd sat on the edge of his bed and he would just cry that he missed her so much. And he eventually passed away. And I believe it was more from a broken heart. The heart, cardia, does not refer to the physical organ in antiquities, but it's always used as figuratively in Scripture to refer to the seat and center of human life. The heart is the center of personality. It controls the intellect, emotions, and will. You feel it. You feel heartache. Everybody says they feel heartache. And you can actually, seems like you feel it in your heart. It aches. Jesus, the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus wept. He was moved. And I'm sure he felt it in his heart. And that's what everybody sees. And everybody sees that. Ezekiel. Let's go to Ezekiel 36. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord said. It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show my holiness of my great name, which you have profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. The nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations, and I will gather you from all the countries and bring you into the land, into your own land. I will sprinkle you with clean water, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Now, to put this in context, Israel is continually sinning and sinning and sinning and chasing after different idols. They've seen the miracles of the Lord. They were supposed to be taught from the time they woke up, from the time that they slept. They were to bind the scriptures on their hand, their forehead. They're supposed to be on the doorpost. But they kept falling back into their old ways. They kept trying to chase different things. They saw other nations prosper around them or doing better sometimes. And they think, well, hey, they may have something going on over there. And they would follow that. Instead of thinking with their minds, they were following their heart. And their heart wasn't linked to God. They had a heart of stone. Their heart was callous. It could not be penetrated with anything. So God says, I will take that heart away from you. I will stop you from being callous. I will give you a heart of flesh. But this is also for Israel in the beginning of 36. I'm sorry, not 36. Here we go. 34 in the beginning of Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man. Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of themselves. Should not the shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds and clothe yourself with wool and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they become scattered because there are no shepherds. And when they are scattered, they become food for wild animals. That's the church. That's the elders. We are the shepherds. And this is a prophecy against Israel, kind of piece by piece, because they weren't taking care of the weak. They didn't take care of the strays. They just took care of themselves. Their heart, they just took it as a job. Their heart were callous. They didn't have emotions. They didn't have that empathy to looking for the lost sheep of Israel. That's why Jesus is called a good shepherd, because he takes care of the flock. He sacrificed himself for the flock. And that's what we're doing. We're making sure, and let's kind of veer off here a little bit, a new pastor. We are making sure, and we're putting them through the ringer. We are checking them out. We're checking their references. We're making sure there are people who are qualified and also have a heart for God. We do not want to bring someone in here just to fill a spot because they're a good speaker. We want to make sure that they have a heart. They have a soft heart. They have a empathy heart, that they love God's word with a passion, using their heart and their mind, but with a passion, that they study, that they're focused on this, but also of teaching and reaching the lost. That's our job as Christians, because when David was here and he would say, who are the pastors? Who are the shepherds? We all are. We have been given a great task with God's word. This is such a treasure that, number one, we can read. But number two, we have this in our hands. We have several Bibles in our home. We have Bibles in the pews. If you need one, take one. Use it. Not use it as a doorstop or to prop up a table, but to use it, because this is something that's life-changing and life-saving. This is temporary. We're waiting for eternity. And if God did such a creation, if you visit the national parks and camp or outside, you see everything, how beautiful it is. If God spent 5 days creating this, what is heaven? What's waiting for us? It's going to be indescribable. Paul tried to describe it when he said that he was caught up into the third heaven. He couldn't. He heard things, he saw things that could not be described, because our minds are still small. They're still tiny. We cannot peer through that. Once we see that, we cannot help but worship. This is practice. Okay? We need to get good at practicing, because when we get to heaven, that's when true worship is really going to happen, because it's going to be so amazing. Psalm 37:30. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom. His tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart, and his feet do not slip. And let's go over to Psalms 51:10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Again, the heart was a seat of emotion and intelligence. That's where they're coming from. So this is not saying, hey, you follow your heart. Because again, we're going to lie to ourselves. You eat a donut. Oh, they're so good. But they're so bad for you. Because after a while, you're exercising, you're doing all the right things you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be eating right. And you're eating kale salads and, you know, chicken and salmon and, you know, trying to stay away from the sugars and the bad stuff, but then somebody has to bring a box of Krispy Kreme donuts. And you eat one. And after you eat it, it tastes so sweet and so, just feels so good. But then after you swallow it, you're like, tastes like regret. It's like, I shouldn't have had that. I shouldn't have eaten that. You just feel it. Oh, but they're so good. But I've had a friend who was going to do a physical test he has to do for the Air Force. And I would come up behind him every time and tell him that they had Krispy Kreme donuts. And I said, it tastes like regret, man. Don't do it. Don't do it. He goes, I have to. I said, no, you don't. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm trying to save you here. Don't do that. God is seeking us out, talking to us, And that's why it's so important to be in God's Word, so that we know we're not tricked by what the devil has before us. We're seeking Him out, God. We're seeking Him out daily. In our prayers, we give up time for praying for each other. We give up time to be in God's Word. Doesn't have to be a certain time of day. Does not have to be 6 o'clock in the morning. It could be any time. You can continually throughout the day pray to God. God, please. God, please. God's going to supply our needs. And when I beg God for, in prayers, mainly it's for myself. Please, God, don't let me be stupid today. Please, God, forgive me for uttering a bad word. Or uttering not a bad word. But saying something to someone that I could have used as encouragement instead of beating them down. Please change me. Or please help me to change so that I can be better. So that people can see the change, the difference in me. That even if there's troubled times, that I can give them words of encouragement. That I can help them out. That I can speak to them of you. And saying, what did you do this weekend? You know, we were quarantined. We were here. We were here hearing the Word of God. What did you guys do? We were here hearing the Word of God. Really? You guys congregated together? I said, yeah. But we still talked about following the normal safe precautions that we're supposed to. Whether it was with the flu, whether it was with cholera, Ebola. I mean, we survived Y2K. There's been 10 earth-ending events that I've lived through since Y2K. You have the Zika virus. You have the West Nile virus. You have the Hanta virus. We have H1N1, the flu, and that's every season. We have pneumonia. We have X, Y, and Z. If all those things were supposed to come true, we would have been dead a long time ago. Normal precautions. That we're supposed to do. Ted, last week, when we were talking about the offering, this was in Matthew 6:21, where he says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. That's where we are at. You cannot, the human heart is roughly the size of a fist, weighing about 10 to 12 ounces. I'm reading this, I don't remember this, but it beats 100,000 times per day. 3 billion beats in a lifetime. 60 to 80 beats per minute. Newborns are faster, about 70 to 190. Pump 6 quarts of blood throughout the body. As smart as we are, as intelligent as we think we are, we have not invented a machine that can do that. I'm going to chase this little rabbit this way, down the rabbit hole. 4-chambered heart, exchanging oxygen back and forth. When people say evolution is true, and there's different degrees of that, yes, I believe it's true. But is it micro or macro? Micro just means the little tiny changes, because we don't all look the same. Different colored hair. Some people have hair, some people don't have hair. Short, tall, skin color. Farsighted, nearsighted, no glasses at all. You can't have a 1-chamber heart. Can't have a 2-chamber heart. So automatically, instantly, from bacteria, we got a 4-chamber heart that works perfectly? No. That's where I disagree with them. You have to show me, again, I'm thinking with my mind, not my heart. Some people want to believe that it's true because if evolution is true, there is no God, and I can still do what I want. Okay, we caught that rabbit, so we're done with that. So we're going to come right back. So out of the heart, Matthew 15:10-20. Jesus called a crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know what the Pharisees were offended? Or do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both of them will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain this parable to us." Jesus turned, "Are you still so dull?" I don't know if he was angry or kind of like shaking his head. Like, "Do you not get it? Do you not see?" Then he says right here, "Do you not see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But these things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these make a man unclean. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make a man unclean." Another rabbit hole. But it makes you sick. Wash your hands. Make sure that you are washing your hands. That's the one protocol that we have. I'm a hygienist. I'm in people's mouths all day long. They are breathing on me. They are breathing their germs. I get to see what they eat. Even if they've brushed their teeth, I still get to see what they eat. They're breathing this stuff on me all the time. I am gowned up. I'm covered up. Pretty soon they're going to have us wearing respirators. But we follow a protocol as far as making sure that our instruments are clean, our rooms are clean. We have to wipe our room, let it set 2 minutes, and then you rewipe it again. Then you set it up with all the barriers. This is a solid vinyl. I'm not sure how much bacteria gets in the vinyl after you wipe it, but we cover it with plastic bags. We have to make sure that our instruments are clean to a certain temperature, to a certain pressure for a certain time. The outside indicator, the inside indicator tells us that it's sterilized. If you drop an instrument, you don't pick it back up. No such thing as a 4 or 5 second rule. It's dirty once it hits the ground. Unless no one sees you, you're a little kid and it's an Oreo cookie, or an adult and it's an Oreo cookie, like look around, blow it off, and you eat it anyway. I mean, it's an Oreo cookie. Bacteria does not wait to jump onto the cookie. It's there already. So these are the protocols that we follow. But it still does not make you unclean. Jesus is talking about your spirit. Jesus is talking about your heart. What you're taking in, what you're reading, what you're listening to, what you're watching on TV. Sorry, I watch The Bachelor, not all the time. What you're watching. The news will tell you right now that the world is coming to an end. And we know it's not. Somebody mentioned to me just earlier that, you know, people, you know, we're talking about the environment. We're supposed to be good stewards of the environment. We're supposed to take care of it. We're supposed to be mindful, not be wasteful, not throw things away. But they said, oh, the environmentalists are going to be so mad when Jesus comes back and they see what he does to the environment. Oh, yeah. But that's why, again, like last week when we talked about love your neighbor as yourself, that's what we're doing. We're rescuing people before Jesus comes back. We're speaking out of our hearts because open the eyes of my heart, God. Fill me up. Fill my heart with your spirit. I want to know you. I want to get closer to God. I want everything out in the open. I want everything exposed. I have nothing to hide. Let's go right back to work again. They do an inspection on my room. And they said, you have sometimes unannounced inspections, you have announced inspections. And I said, we're going to inspect your room. And I said, well, do it right now. And they go, well, and I said, I need to be right all the time. So if you find something, that's just going to teach me what not to do next time. Expired products, expired wipes, expired topical, expired anesthesia. I want to make sure that I'm doing right all the time by my patients. No cross-contamination or any of that. So the same with us. I want everything out there. I want everything exposed. Look at everything. Look at my life. If I'm doing wrong, Let me know. Chastise me so that I can learn from it. But gently. Don't break my spirit. Getting a little older, getting a little sensitive, getting a little more emotional. I don't know. I'm getting way sensitive, way too sensitive. But God, as he chastises us, as he brings storms into our life, may be clearing a path for us. Maybe taking things away from us that we don't need to be hanging on to. Again, that's my favorite line. Emotion is the chemical defect on the losing side. But we have emotions because we need to make sure that we're reaching the people who are lost. And we need to continue to grow. We need to have the sympathy. We do not need to. The people out there are not our enemy. They are just like we were at one point in time. We were lost. And someone shared the gospel with us. Someone who was in the Word. Maybe they didn't do that. They invited us. We have, here in the church, we don't have an altar call. We don't ask you and play on your emotions. And we play the song over and over again. And I'm sure we've been in those churches when we're growing up, that they have an altar call. And they'll try to get people to come up. They just kind of start tugging on their heartstrings. What we have here is 101. We want you to know for sure why you're saved. For sure. We want you to know everything there is about this church before you join the church. We want to have all that knowledge of why you're saved through the Bible, not from what we think, through God's Word. So when we have newcomers come in, we have somebody who says, hey, I want to join the church. And we say, this is what we're about. We're preaching the Word of God, even if it hurts us. Even when somebody stands up here and points one finger at you, three fingers, like your teacher, you know, elementary says, three fingers are pointing back at you. It should have convicted us as we're talking to you that it convicts your heart. So some of these hard things we are not going to skip over. Jesus said he is the way. Again, there's no other way. We'll go it step by step for new believers. And we want to make sure that they know that. That's one of the classes we should have coming up here pretty quick. We're going to make sure people that want to join the church have that invitation so they could come and know. And even if they do not make that decision, we fulfilled the mandate that Christ laid upon the disciples. We're going into the world and sharing the gospel. We want to make sure that they know it and know it for sure. Not like, well, I hope I'm saved. That was pretty good today. I hope I'm saved. If I die today, I get to go to heaven. No, we want to make sure that you know for sure. That once you make that commitment, that you're going to heaven. God, Jesus, committed to us. Again, this is the mind part. Not that we tug on your heartstrings. God's going to tug on your heartstrings. We want you to know for sure that God's word is true. That you're going to heaven for sure. God has a plan for us. We may not know what the plan is, but we, by faith, step out and follow his plan. We know where we're going. He is the shepherd, and he's guiding us. Sometimes when he guides us, it hurts. You get whacked by a sheep's walking out of the place, you get whacked by with a stick, or with a sharp stick, a goad in the side. Nope, go this way. Nope, go this way. It hurts, but God is guiding us. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. When David was preaching this, I made sure that I highlighted it. And this is coming from the book of Jeremiah as well. But God found fault with the people and said, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. Because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This covenant I will make with the house of Israel at that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother and say, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. As far as the east is from the west, not north-south, because you could go north and south, and you'll run into south. You go north, so you hit the North Pole, your next step, you're going south. It's not that great of a, well, to God, it's not that great of a distance. You go South Pole, you go one step from there, you start going north. But east-west, you keep going east, around and around and around, you'll never hit west, because you keep going east. They never touch each other. As far as one is from the other, they never touch. So for everybody out there who believes that the earth is flat, sorry, it keeps going around and around in a circle. Colossians 3. I'm just going to go there instead of trying to memorize it and mess it up. I was taught that. Do not shoot from the hip. Look it up. Read it directly from the Word. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. And that since then is the same as therefore. So once you highlight that in your scripture, in your book, go back and read the rest of Colossians, because it's what's it there for. You have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self and with the practices, and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of him who is the Creator. That is us. That's the same thing that he said when what's coming out of your heart. Impurity, lust, evil desires, greed. What we speak, what we're putting into our heart, when we speak, that goes out there. Scientists said that every word that is spoken is still vibrating on the planet. They say that they can pick up little vibrations, the background noises, and if they were able to capture that and decipher it, it would be all the languages, all the speech, everything going. Energy equals mass times constant squared. Energy does not dissipate. It continues to go. Sound continues to go out. The words that we speak . But you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and the filthy language from your lips. He always used to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Yes, they do. You get in trouble and you're fighting with your brother, and your mom calls you in, and she says, I'm going to spank you. Boys' logic. I'll take the spanking, because it's over and done with. Now we go back out and play. But if she starts talking to us and giving us a lecture, and she's going to ground us, and kind of beg, kind of get in the drawer and get the wooden spoon out and let her hit us, because it's over with. We're done. We can go back to playing. Words hurt. That's the most thing that I remember growing up. Not from my parents, but from people I thought I respected, teachers, brothers. Not really my sisters. My sisters really loved me. Especially my oldest sister. She protected me. So, but out of the heart. Your heart will lie to you. It's what you're putting your heart against. God's word will guide you. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. If we decide just to let our heart will us, again, your heart will lie to you. It'll tell you that donut is good. Donut. Sin. Sin is attractive. If it was like stepping in dog do, you wouldn't be doing it. You wouldn't go over there and say, oh, well, right there. You wouldn't do it. Satan is not directly after you. He has set up a world system to make sin attractive. What you watch, attractive, pleasing to the eye. It pulls you in. The cheese or the peanut butter on the mousetrap. Oh, it smells good, looks good. It's a mousetrap. It's a trap. It pulls you in. Then once he pulls you in, once that system pulls you in, then you got the whisper in your ear, you're not good enough. How could God love someone like you? You committed this sin. How can God love you? How could God forgive you? He can. Repent of your sin. Turn back. That's what repent. 180 degrees. Repentance. Turn 180 degrees. Not 360, because you're going to go back in that same direction. 180. Turn around. You hate it. It stains your soul. You do not like it. I don't like it. I hate it. There's not enough showers in the world to take away that feeling. No matter how hot or how cold it is. You cannot scrub hard enough. There is no soap that takes away sin. By the blood of Jesus. And the world looks at it as foolishness. How could a God die for you? Your God died? My God's still alive. Oh, your God's not God. My God died for my sins because he knew I couldn't pay that price. Does not make sense to the world. But when you're in God's word and he's written his law on your heart, it makes sense. And your mind's telling you, it makes sense. Even sometimes when you have the doubts, Jesus has spoken these words to us. God has put his words in this book on our hearts. And we take that step of faith. I don't understand this, Lord, but I know. I trust you in these little things. I'm going to trust you in these big things. This is wrong. Open the eyes of my heart. Father, speak to me. Let's pray. Like the song said, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. Forgive us where we fall short. Forgive us when we follow our heart that leads us down the wrong path. Give us the strength and let us use the strength that you've given us to follow you. That we welcome the storms in our life, that our faith is maybe challenged, but also that you take things away in our lives that do not belong there. Let us put our trust in you. Our future is in you. Strengthen the people around us with prayer, with words of encouragement, to bind up the wounds that the world has lashed upon us. As we walk next to each other, lifting each other up, let us continue to be faithful with your word. Let us be merciful to the people around us as you are merciful to us. Let's show them the grace that you poured upon us with great encouraging words. Father, thank you for this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.